See, God made sure that he took Moses up to the mountain. He showed him everything. He says, you see all of that? That's all of that that you can't go into because you messed up. But guess what? You did your work. You brought him up to here. Now it's time for somebody else to do the work. And now I'm just going to take you and I'm going to bring you over to my side. You're going to be in my kingdom. You're going to enjoy the benefits of heaven while Joshua takes the people. So Moses, come on over. Boop, Moses left. All right. Nobody knows where Moses was buried. Nobody knows what God did with him or anything. And it's a good thing because if everybody would have gone and if the people would have gone and buried Moses, remember who Moses was. They were there. Moses was their pretty much their Christ, if you may say that. We're talking typology here, a type of, okay, it's like Jesus to them. He was their savior, their prophet, their teacher, their everything, the leader. So if they would have buried him somewhere, I know what we do. And the people of God would have gone back to that grave, and they would have prayed to the dead. They would have prayed to Moses. They would have looked for Moses. They would have carried something to remind them of Moses or somehow, some way, because people tend to do that. They lose sight of God, but they can't lose sight of what's on earth. So God, and the Bible says that the body of Moses was fought over by Michael the archangel and the devil. They fought over the body of Moses. Did you know that? They fought over it because the devil wanted his body. He said, I don't care. All the spiritual things he did, whatever, okay, but I want his body. Because Satan knew that if he could acquire his body, or at least if he could put it somewhere where the people will be remembered or remember him, they'll go back to that grave and die with him or something, right? So, but then we go on to a new chapter in life in the Bible. God then commissions Joshua, who was the captain of Moses' army, all right? And the title of this book is Joshua, but in Hebrew, the title of the book is Now It Came About. That's the title of the book. It's also the first few words of the book of Joshua. Now it came about. And that's it. That's the title of the book of Joshua for the Hebrew. Because that's how they named their books, by the first few words of the start. That's, you know that. And all of the books are like that. So, and it's been said, you know, that before Canaan, or the land of Canaan, it's like the inheritance of the Christians. You know, we keep talking, and there are even some songs, especially in Spanish, that we're going to the land of Canaan, right? That we're traveling, that we're on a journey to Canaan. And some people even think and place Canaan as a picture in the Old Testament of heaven. That's the ultimate, you know? And it is not. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. I'm going to tell you why. Because they had to battle. They had to fight. They had to go to war in order to get into Canaan. And let me tell you, you don't have to fight for heaven. It's already been paid for. Jesus did. So we got to be careful. But as we look at Canaan, we can look at the land of Canaan or the promised land. You see, some people think of the promised land, and as Christians, we think the promised land is in heaven. No, the promised land is right here. It's the kingdom of God being established in here. It's because they had to conquer it, and they had to conquer. You have to conquer in your spiritual life. You have to conquer over strongholds. You have to fight here. Once we get to heaven, there'll be no more fighting. But they were fighting in Canaan all the time. They were fighting in the promised land all the time. They had to go for it. They had to have spiritual strength and courage to go take possession of it by faith, of course. And you need to take possession of your spiritual life by faith also here on earth. Once we're in heaven, you don't have to fight anymore. So, and there's so many Christians that are still halfway there, right? I mean, I'm halfway there, I think. But some of them are like really, really halfway there. You know what I mean? Like they're really behind, not even halfway there, let's just say. All right, in their spiritual lives. It's like from between Egypt to Canaan, they're still stuck somewhere in the desert. They're still serving. They're still serving sin or doing something that is just not letting them walk forward and conquer the land that God has given each and every one of us. And I'm not talking about a piece of land in Gretna or in Tarrytown or anything. I'm talking about in your heart. In your heart, conquering all the areas in your heart, all of those cities that you have in your heart, like, you know, my family and this and that, and my pride and my humility, you know, all of those, whatever it is, and conquering and establishing in your heart, you know, your spiritual life the way it's supposed to be. And When we look at the theme of the book of Joshua, we see that God said, I'm going to take you to the land and I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you rest. You're going to have the victory. He said, you will conquer and you'll take over and you'll find rest. So God promises victory and rest in the promised land. So there is, in our Christian life, room for rest. You don't have to live battling and fighting every day of your life. There is room for rest too. There is room to rest upon the promises of God and on the victories of God and on the love of God. You don't have to be fighting all the time. So the theme of the book of Joshua is how to enter and possess the inheritance that God has given us. Now let's look at Joshua for a second, at the man. He was born in Egypt while they were slaves. His father was Nun. He was not a Nun. Be careful. His father was named Nun. Okay, just be careful. Because some people think, you know, oh, his father was a Nun. No, it's not right. From the tribe of Ephraim. And we don't know anything about his mama. But let's just say she loved him. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Originally, Joshua's name was Hosea. Hosea. You know what the name Hosea means? Salvation. Hosea means salvation. And we have a prophet named Hosea later on in the Bible that we're going to see later on. But you see, when Moses commissioned him before as a captain of his army and took him as his assistant, Moses changed his name. And he changed his name to Joshua. He said, you're no longer Hosea, you are Joshua. And Joshua means Yahweh is my salvation, though Jehovah is my salvation. So he went from being, your name is Hosea, which means salvation. Now let's be a little bit more specific. Your name will be Joshua, which means Yahweh is our salvation. Let's be specific. You're not just any salvation, you're God's salvation. And once again, we see the name Joshua in Hebrew. And when we go to the New Testament, we see the name Joshua in Greek, which is Jesus. Jesus means Yahweh is our salvation. So that's why we say that Joshua is a typology of Jesus. You know, they had the same name, and the purpose was to conquer, help them, bring them to the land, and give them rest. And also his job was to give out the inheritance and say, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. So he was kind of acting as the Christ of the people of God for the time appointed to him. He led the army in the battle with Amalek in Exodus chapter 17. And he was one of the ones that went in as the 12 spies that went into the land to survey the land to see if it was good to go there. And he's one with Caleb, the only two spies that came back and said, the land is good. Let's go take it. Everybody else said, no. Majority won. They voted on it. They went to the desert for 40 years. But he and Caleb are the only two survivors. Caleb and Joshua are the only two survivors. Their families were the only families from the time they left Egypt, 40 years through the desert, more than 2 million people, all had died. All had died. Every single person that came out of here, by the time they got here or in the desert, they died. Everybody was dead except Joshua and Caleb. Wow. And of course, those people that died, they had children. But they themselves, personally, they never made it to the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. Out of 2 million something people, only two made it. You know what that tells me also? Just as a symbolic thing, so many are going to go through the way out there, the wide open door, the big door, and so few are going to go through the narrow door that leads to salvation. So think about that. It's just a symbolic thing. But tradition tells us that Joshua had 85 years, or he was 85 years old when he occupied the place of Moses as the head of the nation. The first 12 chapters, we see Joshua with the people conquering the land, which was a span of about 7 years that it took them to kind of get situated. And then from there on, the rest of the years he spent actually dividing the land and saying, you're going to get this, you're going to get that, okay? But he died at 110. And There's so many people that oppose the Bible, you know, and they say that the Bible can't be true, and God can't be true, and God can't be love because he's a killer, you know, he's a murderer, and he kills so many people. And it's based on some of the things that happened in the book of Joshua. See, in the book of Joshua, God tells them to go out there, and you go and kill everyone. Don't even leave the children alive. If you look at Joshua chapter 6 for a second, I promise you we're going to get into the sermon in a second. But in Joshua chapter 6, verse 21, it says, they utterly destroyed everything in the city, both men and women, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. Why? Because God said, kill everything, down to the animals. Do not leave anything that breathes alive. And so people say, that's a cruel God. That's not right. But you have to understand that we're already in the book of Joshua, but thousands of years before, in Genesis 15, when God called Abraham, since then, God has been given the land of Canaan the chance to repent. The Canaanites, he'd been given them the chance to repent, and for so many years, they didn't. So all of a sudden, destruction comes. They just simply did not want to believe. So we need to think about that. Even the Bible in Leviticus chapter 18 talks about the works of Canaan. The works of Canaan. And what it describes there is idolatry and all kinds of pagan religions. So that's why we can see that God had said so. When somebody says, well, God loves to kill people, that's not a loving God. Well, let me tell you why. Because he gave them so many years of a chance, you know, so more than 1,000 years giving them chances and stuff. But each and every sinner can be saved, even in the Old Testament. You can see that when you start reading Joshua and you go to chapter 2. A prostitute got saved. She got saved because she believed. That's all she had to do. So God will use the war to punish sin, but at the same time, he gave him a chance to repent. So that's very important. The book of Joshua starts where Deuteronomy ends. Like I said before, the death of Moses was necessary. It was necessary so that another new leader could be brought up to bring him to the land. And let me tell you something. In the kingdom of God, we have to bury leaders all the time. I'm going down there. I'm going down to the ground, so are you. We're going to be burying leaders throughout the story of the kingdom of God. But guess what? His work continues. People die, but we got to continue the work. Amen? And Israel was just finished lamenting the loss of Moses, and then God speaks to Joshua as far as his responsibilities as a new leader of the nation. He commissions Joshua in the first chapter. And I want to preach to you on the topic that pretty much runs through the commission of Joshua in chapter 1, spiritual strength and courage. All right, so let's go there. First of all, spiritual strength and courage. Let's read the chapter real quick. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I'm given to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. That's a very important verse, oh my God. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all of the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go, or be prosperous wherever you go. In some Bibles it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all of it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go into the and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess it. To the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Three times Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. Twice by God and once by his own people. But check it out. Let's talk a little bit about this. Because let's talk about when God speaks to Joshua, then Joshua speaks to the people, and then the people speak to Joshua. Let's go with God first, as always. So God chose Joshua to be the successor of Moses from the beginning. Even from Exodus chapter 17, he had already said, this is going to be your successor. All right? But here we go. In Numbers chapter 27, a little bit further, God instructed Moses, ordain Joshua. Okay? So he ordained him. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses gave a word, a final blessing, and he just simply encouraged Joshua. So we knew from the get-go, from the beginning, that he had been prepared, that God was preparing. It took, 40 years to prepare him in the desert. All right. But the first 9 verses is where God speaks to Joshua, and he promises the land. He promises the land. But you know what? In order to possess the land, we need leaders to stand up. We need leaders to step up to the plate. When we look at verse 2, we see that the people of God need somebody to lead them. And God picked Joseph. He had been preparing them and everything. And some of us, God has been preparing our lives. God has been training us and helping us to understand. But yet we are yet to take over our leadership position in church and at home and in different places. But because God has promised to give us a land. God has promised that he's going to take us somewhere, and we need somebody to lead. And what God promised, he keeps. In verse 3, he says, like I told you. You see, it's already been said. God already said it. You see, every place in which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. I had already said this. This is a repeat. He tells Joshua, I already said this. And if God already promised, then we don't have to look for a way. We don't have to be trying to make up stuff. All we have to do is follow his lead. It's already been traced. We already know where we're going on the map. And he's told us he'll give us the land. All we have to do is march forward in faith, following the Lord as our leader and taking possession of the land. You see, in your spiritual life, there are many things that we still lack. There are many things that we still think, oh, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And he's like, I'm trying to help you, but you're not helping yourself. You need to get up and walk. You need to get up and follow. You need to get up and go. And that's what he's saying here. I'm thinking that Joshua was having some struggle here as a new leader. And I know some of you that are cell group leaders, we're struggling at the beginning. We're like, yeah, do I do this or not? Or are they expecting from me and this and that? But it took a while. But once you got to stepping, oh my goodness, you started going and it's great. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that he has given us already all spiritual blessings. He's already done it. He's already given that to us. Blessed be the Lord and God of our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's already blessed us. See, it's not, and you got to be careful because it says everywhere where your foot treads, oh man, you hear all these people, right? All these Christians have said, just step on it, claim it, it's yours, right? That's not what it means. God is not giving you permission to claim whatever the heck you want. God doesn't work like that. I can show you right here that that is a false belief that many churches still are preaching. Prosperity. You want prosperity? Claim it. Take it. Pray it. It's yours. No! That's false teaching. Let me tell you why. Because God told Joshua, wherever your foot treads, you step on it. Wherever you go, it's yours. Take it. But not because you want it or because you claimed it, but because I had promised you and I already said that was yours. I'm just telling you to take something that I had already given you. And that's the thing. That's the thing. If God has not given it to you, you don't have a right to claim it just because you want it. Oh my goodness, praise the Lord. God chooses and you take it. God defines and you receive. But it's not like you want it and then God gives it to you. It's like, God, this is what I want, and he has to give it to you. No, you can pray in the name of Jesus 10,000 times the same thing. But if God has not appointed that for you, you ain't getting it, my brother. You ain't getting it. Because it's God's promise what counts here. He promised the land. He also promised his presence. In verse 5, you see, he says, no man will be able to stand before you. Why? Because I will be with you just like I was with Moses. I will be there. Don't worry. I am here. Nobody can come against you. No one. Your presence, my presence will be with you. And if he is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, look at the other one. He promises assurance. In verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people possession of the land I swore to their fathers to give to them. Let me give you assurance. I already swore that I would give it to them. Don't be swearing out there, okay? You don't need to swear. You know, it was a custom before, but you don't need to do that. The Bible says it, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. But yet, God says, you know what? I want to give you assurance just so that you know. You see, when people say, I swear, what are they trying to do? They're trying to assure you that you can trust them, right? And God is trying to assure Joshua that he can trust him. I swear, I was with Moses, I'll be with you. What an amazing thing. You see, let me tell you, this is the first time that God says, be strong and courageous. This is the first time that he tells Joshua, just be strong and courageous. You see, why is it that Joshua needs to be strong and courageous? Because being a Christian, following God, following Jesus, is not for cowards. Contrary to popular belief, where people in the world think that's just for weak people and cowardly people. No, being a Christian takes guts. It takes heart. As a matter of fact, it takes all your heart and all your guts. It takes your whole life fighting it out there. This is for true people with strength and courage. In verse 7, then he tells them again. You see, like in verse 6, he tells them, be strong and courageous. But you look at verse 7, he goes a little strong. He says, only be strong and very courageous. You see that God is trying to, he's adding a little bit more, you would say, drama. He's making more emphasis. First I told you, be strong and courageous. Now I'm telling you, only be strong and very courageous. See, God is trying to encourage Joshua here you see, you have to guard yourself. You have to be careful. And he tells them to be strong and courageous to what? To fight the battle? No. To grab the sword and be the mighty champion that he was? No. He's telling them, be strong and courageous to keep the word that's been given to you through Moses. Keep the word. Be strong and courageous to keep the word. That's what we've been saying that God has told us too as Christians. He just wants us to live his word. God doesn't want you to grab a sword and go out there and fight for Christianity. He's just asking you to live Christianity. That's the best way to fight it. And if you ever fall, fall on your knees. Amen? And he'll help you up. See, the law had been given to them through Moses. But now they couldn't be stuck in the past and just, you know, they had to do something new. They had to build over that foundation of the law that God had given Moses. As a matter of fact, Moses is mentioned 57 times to the book of Joshua. So it was not like they were, okay, Moses is dead. Everybody, I'm Joshua. Moses is dead. Forget about him. It's me now. No. You build on that foundation. That's what God told Moses. You build on the word, on the law. Because what I gave Moses was the law, and that is the law of the land. That is my word, and you should keep it. Period. So be strong and courageous to do that, to build upon that foundation. And see, in verse 7, he says that you'll have success. So that means that if we obey, if we keep the word, if we keep what God has given us, we will be prosperous. And not only will we be prosperous and have success, he says everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. In verse 8, a little bit further down, he says, it shall not depart your mouth. You know what that tells me? You have to talk about the word. You have to tell others about the word. You have to proclaim the word. You have to go out there and tell people who God is. You have to proclaim the truth of God. Yes, you have to live it, but you can't keep quiet. And he also tells us, be careful to meditate upon it. What is meditate? Meditate is the word of the animals that simply, you know, chew in the cud. Like the cow, you know, she eats the grass. She brings it in one stomach. Then she brings it back out at night and she chews it and chews all over again, swallows it again, and she does that. She'd be, you know, chewing the cud all night, all day, whatever. That's what she does. That's what it's saying here, to do that with the word. Ingest it. Bring it back out. Chew it. Bring it back down. Bring it back up. Chew it. Keep meditating on it. Keep doing that. Keep. As a matter of fact, meditating is like worrying. What do you do when you worry? You take one thing that you're worried about and you keep pondering on it. You keep pondering on it, pondering on it, because you're worried about it. Well, the same thing you do with the word. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. You just take the word of God and just keep going at it, right? Amen. Simple. So there's not a single day. He says all of the days of your life, day and night. There's not a single day of your life that you don't need the word of God. Let me tell you, there is not a single moment in your life in which you don't need the word of God. You need the word of God every day, all the time. So he's saying, watch yourself to do this. And you can't do what's in the word unless you know the word. So you have to be informed. You have to acquire knowledge in order to do what's been taught to you. And that equals to success and prosperity. Those are the results of meditating and obeying the word of God. You want success in your life? You want prosperity in your life? Read, meditate, and obey the word of God. Simple. Amen? We could go home right now, but we're not. Verse 9, let's finish up what God was saying. He gives them promises of assurance. He promises assurance. He says, you know what? Let me give you a third time just in case. Look at the progression. First, he says, be strong and courageous. Right? Verse 6. Verse 7, he says, only that you be strong and very courageous. Then in verse 9, he says, hold on one second. Have I not commanded you? I could see, well, this is not there, but it kind of implies that Joshua was having kind of concerns of the call of God. And it's okay to have that. Look at Moses. He started stuttering. Can't do that, that. He didn't want to do it. Yet God used him mightily. And here's Joshua now. Oh no. God is saying, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and very courageous, Joshua. Have I not commanded you? God makes, you know, a point here in verse 9. Be strong and courageous. And you can see the exclamation points there. Do not tremble. That means that he was shaken. Stop shaking, Joshua. Enough of that. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He had to give him assurance. He had to give him encouragement. There are some people that need to hear once, need to hear it twice, and some people need to hear it three times. And that's okay. Amen? It looked like he was having a hard time, but it's okay. It's normal. Maybe Joshua wanted to hear God explain to him, okay, explain all this to me. You're saying we're going to take the land, but please give me a detailed plan. Please show me something because this is difficult. You know what? But like I told you earlier, the Christian lives on God's promises, not on God's explanations. If you're waiting to God to explain everything to you, you're never going to get it anyway. even if he explains it. So he reaffirms Joshua's heart with the promise of his presence, which is beautiful. And then he tells him, anywhere I go, I'll be with you. And if you move, I'll move with you. And if you stay, I'll stay with you. But I don't want you to stay. I want you to move, brother. So let's go. He gives him assurance. Then Joshua speaks to the people. Now it's Joshua. Okay, so God now has encouraged Joshua. Joshua said, no, I got to go pass this message on to the people now. So he goes. In verses 10 to 15, we have like a spiritual chain of command here. God told Joshua in verse 9. Then Joshua tells the leaders in verse 10. And then the leaders had to make sure that the people were doing their thing in verse 11. So there's a spiritual chain of command. That's the spiritual leadership, the same way that we should work under God now in his kingdom and his church. God gives us leaders in the church, specifically pastors, to shepherd. The pastors then have this plan and go to the leaders, and the leaders then encourage the people. But let me show you at the end that some people, then the pastor needs to hear from the people too. So that's good. So Joshua gave the leaders what God had told him, and now Joshua's taking the message to them. So he spoke to them in faith and obedience. One of the things that Joshua did is he had faith and obedience. If you look at verse 10, it says that he commanded the officers of the people, saying, you see, here we go. Joshua he was obedient. God told him, and he immediately went and commanded the leaders. In verse 11, he told them what to do. He told them to prepare. But look at this detail. Very interesting in verse 11, because he doesn't tell them, hey, we're fixing to go to war. We're fixing to go conquer the land. We got to kill all these Canaanites. We got to take over the land. Men, women, children, you name it. Animals, everything's got to die. So get your swords and start, prepping them. Start making weapons. That's not what he said. He just said, make provision. Get some food. Get ready. Guess what? Manna had stopped. No more manna. Now we got to prep our own food and get our own food and do our own food. So he's telling them, you know what? All you have to do is prep yourself, because we're going to be here 3 days preparing ourselves to cross the river. 3 days later, of course, they would cross the Jordan into the promised land, but they had to be prepared. So, and when we look at the 3 days, we see some symbolisms here. Joshua says, prepare, for in 3 days we will have entered the land. Guess what? Jesus, on the third day, was risen. And that's when the new life starts for all of us, right? You see, he didn't just go out there with a crazy faith of just plunging in without even thinking. You see, there's premeditated faith also. We need to be intelligent with our faith. We need to be careful with our faith. We don't just whatever and we believe in and say, well, I'm just going, Lord. And the Lord said, not yet. And we fall. We got to prepare. We got to be wise about our faith. And Joshua reaffirms the people with the promises and reminding them that God is who gives them the land. He tells them, it's not you. It's God who gives it to us. So he didn't say, prepare some boats either. See, what an interesting thing. They're looking at this massive river, and Joshua's not saying, get your floating devices. It's under your seats. Put it on. Pull the cord. He's not giving them an airline speech for them to be floating down the river. He's not saying, get the boats. Follow Noah's plan. Let's build a boat. No, he's not saying that. Guess what? Think about it. Joshua and Caleb were the only two people who had seen the Red Sea being divided out of Egypt. So he's like, you know what? I've seen bigger stuff than this, man. Don't need to worry. Just pack some lunches. We're going to have a great ride here. We're making it to the other side. You see, you rely upon what God has done, and he will fulfill it again. See, a lot of us are thinking in our life sometimes, you see a hurdle in your life and you're thinking, I don't know if God's going to give me this. I don't know if God's going to help me to do this. I don't know. But Joshua was not worried about the river because he had seen him part the seas. And you see, haven't you heard that Jesus actually was lifted from the dead and that he actually lifted people from the dead into life? And sometimes we think that God cannot heal us from an illness. Sometimes we believe or feel like God cannot free us from an addiction. Sometimes we feel like God cannot com- comfort us in our brokenness. Sometimes we think that God cannot take away our pain. Sometimes we think that God cannot restore our marriage. Sometimes we think that God cannot rescue our children. Sometimes we think that he cannot provide for our needs. Should I keep going? All of that is just like a river compared to the sea that God had already parted. You can trust God and obey him, and he's not going to leave you there. He's going to do something. But you got to have faith and obedience. Number two, he spoke with authority and truth. Authority and truth. In verse 12, he tells the Reubenites and the Gadites. You see, he's talking in the half tribe of Manasseh. These are two and a half tribes that from a long time ago, when they finally got to the place before crossing Jordan, they had asked Moses, Moses, please, we like this land here. We like this here. Before we even go and cross the river, we'd like to have this piece of land. Can you let us have it, please, pretty please? And Moses said, you can have it. But let me tell you something. When it comes time to cross the river, you will go across and you'll help your brothers fight for the rest of the land. You're not going to just stay here and plant yourselves with your children and your wives and your animals and everything. Have a great old time. Say, hey, we arrived. Hey, guys, go ahead and go fight on the other side of the river. Let us know how it goes. Send me a text or an email. Post it on Facebook. No. Moses said, you're going to have to go with them, and until they establish themselves and find rest, then you come back. Talk about helping your brother out, huh? And not leaving him until he finds rest. That's very important among us. Help one another. Support one another. Bear one another. Right? Sometimes I want to let loose a bear on you. No, that's not what it means. It means for me to bear you. Or you to bear me. You know what I mean? All right. So he's saying you're going to have to go do this. And it's already been established. And in verse 13... it says, you know what? You're going to have to remember the word which Moses gave you and commanded you. And it says, the Lord gives you rest and he will give you this land. He will give it to you. He will give you rest. But first you need to go fight with your brothers. Basically what he's saying, you know what? We're going to give you this land. But don't complain. You're going to have to go fight with them too. Don't think you're going to get this for free. And no, you're going to have to go fight too. You're going to have to work as a team. You're going to have to work as a family. Don't leave your fellow behind. You're going to have to go fight with them and for them, not just for yourself. So that's what they had to do. Moses already had assigned the land to them, but they had to go to the other side, fight with them. And God is good. And God listens to our hearts, and he will give us what we ask if it's in his will. And he gave them that land. But they had to go fight it. Okay. Now, not also he spoke with them with authority and truth. He spoke with the people in mind. See, you have to be mindful of other people. You have to be mindful of other people. You can't just think about yourself. See, in verse 14, it says, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land, and blah, 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 blah. But you need to take your warriors and send them over. So he's, you know, Joshua's saying, you know what? You're going to keep your family safe. Your family's going to be safe, but you need to go there. And he's talking on behalf of the others too and saying, you need to go help them. They need your help. That's very important. And basically, we're saying you need to, like I said, the mutual help. No, help one another, support one another. Don't worry about your families, he's telling them. Don't worry about your families. Don't worry about your cattle. Don't worry about what you own. Don't worry about your kids. Don't be selfish. Just don't worry. Leave it all in the hands of God and go fight. And you know, sometimes that's hard, right? Having to say, you know what? I don't need to focus on my own. I don't need to focus on my own family, my own needs. I need to focus on other people. And that may seem hard sometimes, especially when you're going through some difficult things. But you know what? When you focus on somebody else's need and you support them, is God going to forget yours? No. Let God worry about your needs. God is awesome. So basically what they had to do was let everything go. Leave their precious families and everything there and say, we're going to go fight. We're going to go to war. We don't know if we're coming back, but we're going to have to trust God that you'll be safe and that we're going to be safe and that we're coming back. And you know what? You need to trust God that way. Remember what I told you? I don't know if it was last week or the week before or something like that, about being generous a few weeks ago maybe, that you can't just hoard everything and hold it. When you cling to something, God can't give you anymore. But when you let go and you hold on loosely, God can go ahead and help you. Use that and give you more and give you more. So do not, let me tell you something, Do not leave your brother or your sister until they find rest. Go all the way with them. Go the extra mile. When you're helping somebody, don't let them go until God blesses them. And last but not least, now after Moses has encouraged the people, now all of a sudden he hears the people speaking back at him. And this is the answer of the people in verses 16 through 18, the last three verses. They were committed with all of their heart. They were committed with all of their hearts. They were committed with all of their hearts. In verse 16, you can see the commitment. You know, they say, they answered to Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. There's a commitment. There's a wholehearted commitment of loyalty right there. They gave the word to Joshua that they were going to help their brothers unconditionally. And what marvelous thing it is when the people of God honor God by respecting our leaders and by following our spiritual leaders in doing for one another. And if you want any reference on that, you can write it down. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. You can look at it later. Deuteronomy 34, 9. So let me tell you something. I know that some people say, well, that's why I don't commit. That's why I don't make any promises. Because the Bible says that I shouldn't make promises if I'm not going to keep them. And if so that way I don't get in trouble. Boo-hoo. Who wants to be working with somebody who's never committed or not promising enough? Make commitments. Do it in the name of the Lord and then comply with those commitments. You know, I found that in my own personal life, I am the most committed when I promise publicly. I am the most committed when I publicly promise or commit to something. When I publicly commit to something, it makes me more obedient. It makes me more loyal. But if I don't commit myself publicly and I do it secretly, most likely, what do? Fail with a big F, because nobody knows that I committed. So do commit and do promise unconditionally. And as you do that, you will be blessed and you'll grow in your commitment to God. God's going to bless you and he's going to give you rest. Not only that, they also encourage their leader. You see, now as the people talking to Joshua, he's encouraged because the people are saying, we're committed. We're going to go wherever you tell us to go. And we're going to do whatever you tell us to do. You just say it. You say the word. We're on. It's on. We got it. It's game now. All right? If you look at verse 17, just like we obeyed Moses in all the things, we will obey you. We will obey you. Now, look at the encouragement from the people. Look at the encouragement from the people. And in different Bibles, it says it in different ways. But only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Basically, it said, we'll follow you. We'll do whatever you tell us to do. We'll go wherever you tell us to go. Only that God will be with you. So make sure that you're following the will of God, and we will promise to unconditionally follow you. But if you're not following the will of God, our commitment may not be there, you know. That's why you have to be careful as a leader, as a pastor. That's why you have to be careful when you just go out there and you say, we're going to do this. You know, your people may not say it to you, but they might be saying inside, if it's God's will, it's going to be great. But if it's not, you hold on. Wow. So here's the encouragement to Joshua from the people. Only that the Lord be with you. So basically they're saying, you better stick close to him like Moses did. You better do the right thing. And as leaders, we need to do that. But that's just not the leaders in the church of cell group. That's in your family and wherever you go at work and everything. That wherever you put your word, wherever you put your mouth, that's where your deeds are. And you do what you're supposed to do. So they placed a challenge before Joshua. They placed a challenge before him. For him to be what? An example. You want us to follow you? We'll follow you. We'll follow your lead. We'll follow your example. Like Moses, you will be, and then we'll follow you. You see, thank God they didn't. Now, you see that right here, they were all committed. And they all said, they were not divided and said, well, we belong to Moses, so we're going to go with Moses, and some will go with Joshua, even though Moses is dead, but we still follow him. No. But later on, you'll see, as they conquer the land, that people start doing that anyway. But at this time, they are all decided to follow the Lord, and we should all do that. So even before Joseph saw the murmurs and the divisions later on, he was very appreciative, and this was encouraging to him that people were committed. And in verse 18, what did they say to Joshua? In the last verse, what did the people say to Joshua? Only that you are strong and
courageous. You see that? Here's the people now telling Joshua, God told you to be strong and courageous three times. Now let us say something to you. Just be strong and courageous. It's okay to encourage your leaders. It's okay to encourage your pastor. Once in a while, I need to hear a word of truth. Once in a while, I need a little kick, you know. Once in a while, I need, no punching, just a little, you know, like they say in theater or whatever, you know, like you know, they give you a kick. That's the kind of kick I like, you know, of encouragement. No, don't be bashing up on me, please. So even the people felt the need to encourage Joshua because they knew it was big. Conclusion. Then let's think about this. God is a God of promises, and whatever he promises, he will always comply with. You see, God promises, and he does. And what does God promise? He promised the land, a place of rest. He promised his presence. You see, what good would it be for us to take possession of the land without God and be without him? See, God not only wants to give us rest, he wants us to rest with him. That's very important. See, he also gives them security, assurance. In other words, he says, I'm going to give you the victory over your enemies. I will fight for you. We can live victorious lives. We don't have to wait to heaven. We're not defeated. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul said. But it is very important that we believe and we follow and we obey like Joshua did. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. We need to be all over. Christianity is not for cowards. So we need to be committed with all of our hearts, just like Joshua did. We need to be committed like his people did. We need to be committed in our hearts to Jesus. And he's the one that's going to give us the strength and the courage to go forth and have rest and victory in our lives. You see, at the beginning of the sermon, I told you that Joshua begins where Deuteronomy ends. And we can see some symbolisms here. See, Moses ends, he is the law. Joshua comes in, he is the salvation of Yahweh. See, the law represented the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the salvation of God, the new covenant in Christ Jesus, a new covenant. In the New Testament, I told you already, Jesus means the same. You can translate it exactly the same. And just like Joshua conquered all the earthly enemies, Christ has defeated all of our enemies at the cross with his death and his power and resurrection. So, we need to think about our lives. If God has given us the victory, he has also given us our inheritance. I already told you, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that we blessed be the Lord that has given us every spiritual blessing. And that's what he offers you today. A place, his presence, and his assurance. That's what he wants to give you.